Every bottle has a front label. That's the story they want you to know. The back label is the story they didn't. This is the back label. A story that gives you the full pour. Let's begin.
The year is 1805. Napoleon Bonaparte is rewriting the map of Europe. Armies are moving. Borders are dissolving. And in the Champagne region of France, in a stone house in the city of Rennes, a 27-year-old woman is standing over her husband's body. His name was François Clicquot. He was supposed to build a wine empire. However, he left behind a small struggling business, a mountain of debt, and a widow. Now, in 1805, women in France could not open bank accounts, could not sign contracts, could not, under Napoleon's own legal code, run a business. Her father-in-law told her to walk away. She did not walk away. Barbie Nicole Clicquot had grown up around commerce, around ambition, around people who bent the rules when the rules were wrong. She took over the company, and then she got to work. Champagne in the early 1800s was not what you know today. It was cloudy, unpredictable, full of sediment that floated through your glass like a slow brown snowstorm. Every champagne bottle was a gamble. Guests would finish their wine, then flip their glasses upside down just to drain the dregs. Barbie Nicole thought that was unacceptable. So in 1816, 11 years after burying her husband, she invented the riddling table, a board pierced with holes to cradle bottles while they were carefully rotated, forcing all the sediment down to the bottleneck during the aging process. It worked. For the first time, champagne ran crystal clear.
Are we clear?
Crystal.
Every champagne producer in the world eventually adopted her method. The process continues to be used today. But that is not the full pour. Napoleon's wars had shut down European trade. Borders were closed, shipping lanes blockaded, and Russia, one of the biggest markets for champagne in the world, was completely off limits. Barbie Nicole had a plan. While the war's naval blockades paralyzed commercial shipping, Madame Clicquot and her agent, Louis Bone, secretly planned to sneak a boat through the blockade to Russia. She loaded over 10,000 bottles of her finest vintage onto a ship. The moment Napoleon was sent into exile, she charted a Dutch vessel and sailed it straight to a Russian port on the Baltic coast, arriving just in time to celebrate the end of hostilities. Her competitors, they were still packing their crates. Her entire shipment sold immediately, and Tsar Alexander declared that Veuve Clicquot was the only champagne he would drink. And when the Tsar of Russia says that's the only champagne he'll touch, the rest of the world listens. But here's the full pour. In June of 2010, nearly 200 years later, a group of Finnish scuba divers were exploring the floor of the Baltic Sea near the Åland Islands. They found a shipwreck. And inside that shipwreck, 168 bottles of champagne, resting undisturbed on the ocean floor for over 170 years. 47 of them, Veuve Clicquot. They brought them to the surface, sent them to France for analysis, and when the experts opened them, despite having spent almost two centuries at the bottom of the sea, the contents were extremely well preserved. The widow's champagne, sealed in 1840, bound for the Russian imperial court, lost at sea, found 200 years later, still good. A 27-year-old woman with no legal right to run a business invented the riddling table, cracked the Russian market, and built one of the most recognized champagne houses in the history of the world. And somewhere at the bottom of the Baltic Sea, she's still making her point. The front label never tells you that. You now know the back label story.